to the Total Car Score podcast, bringing you the world of cars from inside the car. And now your hosts, Carl Brower, Lauren Fix, and Javier Mota.
Well, Carl, you were missing in action, I guess, somehow, but you were in a lot of action recently, right?
Yeah, no, I've had a lot of traveling around, getting to Scottsdale, Arizona, and then now in Moab doing different things, driving four GTs, and now driving, you know, kind of extreme ends of the spectrum, racetracks with four GTs, off-roading with Grand Cherokees.
Yeah, a lot of fun here. And here we are at Moab, which is, I guess, the world capital of Jeeps. I don't know. We're here with Devon Brooks, who is the manager for marketing,
for product marketing for Jeep brand, yeah.
Well, thank you for having us here. And first question: you guys have ever done like study of like per capita Jeeps in Moab? Because I tried like for a minute to count how many I saw on the road. I lost count.
Yeah, we didn't stage it either.
No, not at all.
No, I mean, when Jim says it's the Jeep capital of the world, it really is. You know, and we have what we call Easter Jeep Safari in April. And you think there's a lot of Jeeps right now? Come in April.
No, I know.
There's like, you can't even like turn without seeing
one. Woodward Dream Cruise of Jeeps.
Jeeps, exactly. Yeah.
I've been here for that, and it's amazing. But like when you just like are at an event here and like driving a new car, you pay a little more attention even.
Because they
are not here, like the Jeep Jamboree or the Jeep Easter Safari. But now today I was actually shooting a video and I was saying that exact phrase and then like three Jeeps go by. Boom.
That wasn't stage either.
No, it's really amazing.
Yeah.
So today we're here for the first test drive of the Grand Cherokee, fifth generation, which was born in 92.
We launched it in 1992
as
a 93 model, April of 92. Yep.
And it became pretty much the second, or like for a while, the number one seller, because the Wrangler is there always.
They bounce between the models. They bounce back and forth.
Yeah.
But in a segment, it's number one.
Yeah.
In the retail, it's number one. Yeah.
So, Carl, you drove it. You enjoyed it. What did you think?
I mean, are we going to post this after the impressions?
Of course. Okay. We'll follow the rules. Most of the rules.
Well, I didn't know what I'm allowed to say. Yeah, it drives extremely well on-road, and it's extremely capable off-road, which I think has been its trademark ever since it was introduced in 92, right, as a 93 model. I mean, it's this luxurious experience when you don't need it to go off-road, and when you need it to go off-road, it starts to feel almost Wrangler-like in its capability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Trailhawk version particularly, I think it's cool that there's some substantial differences, not just equipment, but even exterior differences that you've done to the vehicle for the Trailhawk version, specifically for approach and departure angle. I thought that was
that's done on purpose. So when you look at the design of the Trailhawk, you're right, the front and rear fascias are unique. And that gives us, you know, the best in class approach and departure angles. And I think the approach is 36 and the approach is 36, departure is 30. So best in class there. And then also, you know, we have the quadra lift air suspension, which gives the best in class ground clearance too.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's purpose built, right? I mean, it's and the thing that I love about working on all the Jeeps, but the thing I really love about Grand Cherokee is that it spans so wide. You know, like it starts at 37, but it goes way into the 70s, and even, you know, as we think about expanding that a little bit further in the future, but it just spans so wide. And that's why we offer 3 4x4 systems, because we have the all-weather capable, you know, Quadratrack 1, which is a single speed, and then it's the 2-speed Quadratrack 2, and then Drive, which you drove in the Trailhawk.
Can you explain a little bit more in detail the different systems? Because, I mean, it's pretty technical, but it gives a very different experience while driving, obviously, and that's why you put them in the vehicles.
Yeah, I'll try. I'm not a technical person, but I'll tell you what the marketing people say.
Okay.
But
the regular people, I mean, we're not engineers, but like, I think it's important. That wasn't on the system, by the way. I think for the regular consumer who doesn't need to have that technical expertise, they need to understand
the differences.
It is.
Yeah. So So we have three systems. It's the QuadraTrack 1, which is, so all of them have active T cases,
yeah,
transfer
course.
Cases, right? But the QuadraTrack 1 is just a single speed transfer case. So that's really for like people who, you know, they just want all weather capability. You know, they just want to, you know, in the rain, not worry about
Miami,
or you know, even like you know, so that's like your all weather capable model, and we only offer that on like our Limiteds and Laredos.
Okay. And so basically, you can't put it in low and go climb up a really steep hill.
Yeah, you're not going to do anything too crazy with it, but you want that assurance that you can get where you need to go. So right. that's QuadraTrack 1. QuadraTrack 2 is what the two, you mentioned the two speed transfer case that has the four low. And it has the ability to transfer 100% of the power to any axle if you need it, you know. And then QuadraDrive 2 is the two-speed, plus it adds rear ELSD, electronic limited slip differential, which allows you to apply any of the power to the rear left or right wheel.
So up to 100%.
Up to 100%.
Yeah, 100%. That's amazing.
Yeah, up to 100%. So it's kind of like in stages, right? And then the Trailhawk would have the QuadraDrive too, so we have the most capable.
So as you said, there's almost like a model for each budget and for each need, because depending on what you want to do. But I'm wondering how much can you slice the product, because it's there's a lot.
Right? Yeah. I mean, we try to. That's a good question. I mean, and really, you know, that's how it really is. I mean, we try to give that limited customer who doesn't want all the bits like exactly what they need. And that's really how we slice it up.
But and the whole brand is going like that, right, Carl? Because like we've seen like models now from the Wrangler to the Mojave, and then the Grand Wagoneer, and like there's a lot now.
Well, and I think what I've seen a lot of brands and automakers doing now is it's not about having a lot of individual sales of individual models. It's about having the total sales for the model line higher than they otherwise would be at a profitable way. In other words, you put out a Grand Cherokee L with three rows, and then you have a Grand Cherokee, and the first question, one's going to cannibalize the other, the same almost car.
And it's the like, electric coming.
Yeah, they'll of course be cannibalizing. There will be, but will the total number of Grand Cherokees, L's and non-L's, sold be much higher than it would have been if there had been either one, if either one of those didn't exist? And the answer is, I'm pretty sure, yes. And so if you can slice the onion thinner and increase your total sales at a profitable level, then you're still making more money and it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, our goal is always to broaden the reach. I mean, that's any brand's goal is to broaden like the spectrum of what customers you attract. And the thing about Grand Cherokee is that, you know, for the past 30 years, it's been two row, right? It, despite its success, it's been two row. And 75% of the segment is three. So that's pretty remarkable. You know, one car. So now it's like, well, what do you do? Will you do the fifth generation? Like, the obvious answer is we need to do a third row.
We need more.
Yeah.
But the irony is that you did that, and then within months of that, there's a whole other Jeep that didn't exist before that or hadn't existed for years called the Wagoneer, and it's a three-row one.
That's true, but that's a completely different segment, right? completely different customer, completely different segment.
And I guess because we as a society in general, I mean, we're so spoiled. We want, like, more everything. Yeah. Right?
And we want it very specific for what we want. So you really can't make too many versions. As long as each version is well executed, it's going to find an audience. So.
Yeah, for sure.
So, again, like a lot of advancement and technology in design, specifically in the interior design. I mean, these cars, I feel guilty getting out of the Moab in the off-road and then getting back into the car because it's like so elegant. I mean, I feel guilty I'm going to get it too dirty.
The interior design guys did an outstanding job with the car. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's really what's good. I mean, the capability will sell it. Like, the exterior refresh will sell it. But the interior is just like, you talked about Wagoneer, like knock out of the park. Out of the park.
Yeah.
And I've been saying that if you blindfold someone and sit in the Wagoneer, or even this one, the Summit Reserve.
Yeah.
If you blindfold someone, sit them in the back seat in particular, and cover the badges wherever it says Jeep or whatever, and you didn't tell them where they were, I bet you they will think that this is like a high luxury European car,
without saying any brand. BMW or Mercedes,
Audi, or even more, like sometimes, because you see, I mean, the detail, And that's what Chris Benjamin, the head of interior design, working on. And he wants to, or the whole brand is working on that, on separating yourself into like, yeah, we're capable, but we can be so many other things too, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I mean, and it shows. I mean, we just got awards 10 Best Interior. So, Chris is doing, I'm telling you, Chris, I mean, all the guys are good. Mark, he's done with the exterior, even Tom with the engineering. Like, I believe, and I'm not, maybe I'm biased, but like, they really knocked out of the park with the fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, Carl, what's your favorite Jeep now? There are so many to pick.
Well, I just was in a 392 Wrangler. Oh, so.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's a completely ridiculous car in the spirit of the Demon. So I love it because I own a Demon. So anytime you can make a car more ridiculous, I tend to like it more. I think the Grand Wagoneer, you're saying, you know, Tavon, it's almost a whole nother segment. It feels like it's another level of luxury that you haven't seen from Jeep before. So I think that car, I don't know if it's my favorite Jeep, but I think it's the Jeep that has most expanded the brand's image in my mind in the past probably 10 or 15 years, that it feels like a whole nother brand.
Well, what we say is it's a premium extension of the brand, so which is where we're going at. But I mean, like, you know, Wagoneer existed 30 years ago, and you know, and we now
the wood panels.
It would be. It's got a lot of wood inside. We put wood inside.
You put it. Much, much nicer.
I'm not Ralph, but we put it inside.
Much nicer.
It doesn't look like the Queen family truckster, so that's okay. It doesn't look like a vacation car, but yeah.
Yeah, but that car. We just started shipping it in the Q3.
Yeah.
And so the customer feedback so far has been very positive. Very positive.
So we went with the Grand Cherokee today to off-road in the Trailhawk version of it, like the most capable. And we were talking about with Carl when we came back from that. I mean, the amazing thing about Moab is not only that it's the Jeep capital of the world, is that you cross the street from a regular resident neighborhood. Then you cross the street, you're like a pretty extreme.
In the mountains. On the rocks.
But I wonder, I mean, obviously Wrangler, yes, a lot of people come through that here. But how many people do you think like put the cars to the extremes that they are capable of?
In terms of Jeeps in general?
Yeah, your cars. I mean, like the Grand Wagoneer, what we did today, I bet you like 90% of people probably will never experience that. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, but we argue about that all the time. I think we say 100% of the 100% of the Jeep customers go off road.
Okay.
In their mind, they go off road. off road. They it doesn't even matter. Like in their mind, that's what the car can do, and that's how they picture themselves climbing the snow pile or whatever.
Well, the level
like level obstacles, whatever. But I mean, like, yeah, of course. You get into the debate, like, but the car was built for it, you know, and that's really all that
matters.
That's
what they want.
That's what they need to
know that it's capable like that, whether they use it or not. That's the whole point.
And it's really amazing. I mean, like, again, like you, it's like so much contrast because now with all the luxury inside, and then you go out and do these extreme things that you will never, you turn the corner and use like this huge rock and the size of a 2-story house and like. Oh, are we going through that? Yeah.
But it does it. It does it. That's the crazy thing.
That's really, really.
That's the amazing thing is that it can do it.
Yeah, and you go on a certain amount of these, and honestly, like, you know, you go on these press trips, and they'll take you off-roading. And I'll sit there, and I'll think to myself, you know, a Camry that I didn't care about could do most of this. If I didn't care about banging up the bottom of the Camry, it could do that. And then, like, you get in, like, and then it's like, and if I got in a CRV or a RAV4, I could definitely do most of this. That's not how you feel, you know, when you come off of what you just did in the Trailhawk. You know, it's like, you would break. You would break or hang up almost every other vehicle, including SUV type vehicles.
No, what I always think is like I didn't do enough. I mean, I could have done like 10 times more than we just did today.
Let's go to the Rubicon.
Actually, that's a good question. Is I know obviously there's. The Wrangler is Rubicon rated. Is the Grand Cherokee?
So the Grand Cherokee Trailhawk did the Rubicon in all electric mode.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the new one that is coming that we cannot talk about.
I can tell you that. But the one that we'll talk to you about early next year did the whole trail in electric mode.
Wow.
Okay.
So
we want to do that.
So it's trail rated. So again.
Damn. Well, we have an appointment now.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And
I know, open invitation. Yeah.
And we know that one's coming, and we know that the Wrangler 4 4XE has been a massive hit. Right? Yeah. Everyone I know who's been in one, I know a guy who bought one who was already a Jeep fan and he's just like in love with the thing.
Pretty much everything you have done has been a massive hit in the past 20 years, right?
You said it, not me.
No, I mean, look at the sales numbers. Like, where are you globally? Close to 2 million, right?
Not quite, but we're up there. I think it's around, I don't know, Ron, if you know the exact figure. But yeah, it's definitely higher than
1.5. I mean, like, you're going to be climbing in the charts.
We're looking at the graph of the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's amazing to me is, you know, back in 2009, we sold like 300,000 globally. Yeah. 300. And I remember Mr. Manley, I joined the team in 2012, and Mr. Manley said, the head of Jeep at the time, said we're going to do 1 million in 2014. We're going to do 1 million. I'm like, Mike, you're whatever, right? We're going to do 1 million
That's
in 2014.
That's optimistic, but okay.
Yeah. Very optimistic. And for sure, December 31st, we did 1 million Jeeps.
Wow.
We went from 300,000 to 1 million Jeeps. And now we're 1.5 million, I guess. Wow. I don't know what the raw number.
Well,
but it's
congratulations on that. Yeah, I'm like really, really impressed with everything that has come out of the pipeline. And now we have another.
It's a powerful brand. Yeah, you know,
it's brand.
And every time I look at Jeep and what it's doing, I think back to 2008, 2009. I mean, Marchionne, he wanted to get Fiat and Chrysler together, and everyone who knows anything knows he really wanted the Jeep brand.
Exactly.
The Jeep brand by itself would have made him buy that, do what it took to get that merger to happen, because he saw the power in this brand.
That's good. We're very proud of it, too. Wow. What we've accomplished.
Congratulations and everything. And we'll see you, early
22.
Early 22.
Early 22.
There'll be more follow-up on Grand Cherokee.
Well, Carl, nice to see you again on the road. And we'll see you in LA next week. I think maybe the three of us will be together finally again.
Yeah, I know. All three hosts will be in the same place at the same time.
And by the way, these cars are in the run for SUV of the year. So we'll talk about those.
And when do they hit showrooms?
So the Grand Cherokee by end of this year.
Okay before end of calendar year 21.
And before the calendar year.
You'll have them. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you for listening. For more, check us out online at TotalCarScore.com.